Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino here, the morning after the Survivor Philippines finale. Yes, we saw it all last night. Denise Stapley is your winner of Survivor Philippines. I was there in person. We did our live show with Stephen Fishback, a live Survivor know-it-alls. Had a really, really fun show backstage live with Stephen. We had some special guests. If you haven't watched or listened to that show, you could check it out anytime at robhasawebsite.com. I think you'll appreciate it. I actually talked to a couple of the people that we're going to talk to in this show as we are talking to the final four contestants from Survivor Philippines. And it is not the end of a Survivor season until Rob Has a Podcast says so. So we always bring you the interviews with the last couple of people. I spoke to all four of the final four separately this morning, starting off with the winner, Denise, then Scoopin, then Lisa, and we're going to close it out with Malcolm. I also have an interesting clip to play regarding Penner and his final tribal council speech at the end of the show, and I think it should be a lot of fun for the next hour or so. And while you're listening, if you still have any of your Christmas shopping left to do, you could kill two birds with one stone. Use our links to go shopping on Amazon.com. You can still get Super Saver shipping and get free shipping on many items when you spend $25 or more. You get all the best deals, and you help support Rob as a podcast in the process. But you guys know all this. You've been doing it all season long, and I'm very appreciative. And so what I want to do, I want to give something back to you guys. So I went to the finale last night. I got a brand new Survivor Philippines buff. I got a Survivor Philippines finale little like a Live Strong type bracelet to get into the press area. So I'm going to give that away. So what I'm going to do is at any point today on Monday, if you tweet about this podcast that you're about to hear, use the hashtag RHAP, hashtag RHAP. I will pick one random person tomorrow, and I will send you this stuff from the finale. And if you want me to, I'll sign it. If you feel like, Rob, look, you don't ruin my Survivor Philippines buff by signing it, I will not. I will give you that option. So go ahead and tweet something out about this show. Use the hashtag RHAP, and you will be entered into a contest, and we have a Twitter randomizer that will pick a random tweet out of all the tweets that use the hashtag RJP. Dan Giesling turned me on to this, and so it's going to be a completely fair random drawing. All right, so let's get into it. We have our first person queued up for you. It is the winner of Survivor Philippines. Here is Denise. Denise, good morning, and congratulations on being the winner of Survivor Philippines. How are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and Denise, I got to see you very briefly last night. We didn't get a chance to talk to you on our live telecast, but I was very excited to even to say hello. Everybody, I think, is very excited for you this morning. So job well done, Denise.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. It's still sinking in. It's quite surreal.
Well, I'm sure I have no idea what that feeling must be like, but I'm sure it's a very good one. Denise, so let's get into it. I had been getting on you the last couple of weeks because I wanted to see you make a move here that I didn't like when you said, hey, I'm not going to take the worst people to the end. I'm going to try to take the best people to the end. But at the end of the day, I felt like at the final four, you won the game and Malcolm lost it. You finally decided to get rid of Malcolm. What went into that decision?
Well, you know, I did, and I have heard you talk. I'm like, just wait, Rob. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And I did. You know, that's, you know, but ultimately, I would have taken Malcolm to the finals with me. But I used that, you know, it's that therapy gut check, and I was just waiting to get confirmation. And because he had been giving all of this confirmation along, you know, final six, I want to lock it down, final four. And I'd given him several opportunities to give me just some little sign of reassurance. And I just kept listening for that and watching for that. And the minute, you know, there were a couple of times and I thought, you know, it's not happening. And now I've got to go to plan B. And I knew I had to go to a plan B. And so I just, you know, started working with, you know, working that to shift that with Michael and Lisa. And luckily it worked.
Well, I thought it was a very savvy move that indecisiveness means no on Survivor. That was a very good job to go back and get him voted out. But if Malcolm had said to you, hey, Denise, I'm with you, let's do this, would you have actually gone through with going to a 2-2 tie and draw the rocks against or make the fire? Somebody would have been making a fire. We don't know who it would have been.
You know, I don't know if I would have felt as comfortable. You know, I think I definitely could have made fire against Lisa, and I'd been practicing at home, but ultimately it was just another test. Me saying, hey, at least let it go to a tie and let us, you know, do that. That was me testing him again to say, are you even going to give me that? And he still wouldn't. So the only way that I would have taken, you know, like changed that vote or that strategy would have been if Malcolm was saying, no, absolutely, you and me vote out Lisa. That was the only way that I was going to be willing to stick with my original, you know, game plan to get him to sit next to me. And he couldn't give me that.
Yeah. And I felt like that maybe you could put Scoopin' up there. Maybe he falls in the fire if you do the tie-making challenge against him. But
poor Scoopin'.
Poor Scoopin'. Oh. How about Malcolm in the jury? I felt like he was very hard on you during the final tribal council. He did give you his vote. I mean, was there real tension between you guys after? Was there any animosity?
No. After the game, not an ounce of animosity. And in that final tribal council, you know, I truly think that Malcolm was just trying to light a big old fire under my rear. Mm-hmm. And he did it. And, you know, and he was mad. I mean, and I don't blame him. I mean, anybody, you know, it's like anybody who doesn't, you know, you come into this game and you're so passionate about it. And the minute that your torch has been snuffed, I mean, you're pissed. I'm sure you're pissed, you know, it's because you want to be sitting in that final. So, no, I knew he was pissed off and I was a little worried about it, but I think he was just trying to light a good old fire for me.
What happened during the final tribal council that Penner was like, Denise, I know you were worried about being a bitch, and so I just want to let you know you are one. And then he wrote denies on his paper. What happened between you and Penner? I mean, I got the sense that he felt you were responsible for him getting voted out, but we didn't see anything bitchy from you towards him.
No, I don't honestly know completely if he was just kind of messing with me. And again, I built what I thought was a good relationship with him out there, but I also, again, was playing a strategic game along with that social game. And there were a couple of moves that, you know, I just knew, you know, hey, here is, I'm at that fork in the road, and I can either stick with that alliance with Malcolm, which unfortunately was with Tan Dang at the time, or I can shift over here to Calabal. And I just had more of an allegiance and more of an alliance with Malcolm, and I wanted to stick with it. That was the kind of game, again, that I wanted to play. And so I think that was the start of Penner just thinking, all right, now, lady, you pissed me off. But again, you know, outside of the game, we are all good. We are all good.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought the time that it was hardly even mentioned on the show, but I think the time you came closest to being eliminated was that they could have had you dead to rights when you went to Calabar, and instead they voted out Katie. They also voted out Dawson, right, when you were there, right?
Yep.
So what was it that you did when you got there to make them say to vote out their own people and keep you around?
You know, it's not even just what I said. I mean, they're realistically, I have to look at that and say, number one, Dana getting sick was my saving grace. You know, horrible for her, but that's part of the luck of the game, that if Dana hadn't been sick and hadn't gone home, I would have been the first to go, I believe. You know, I do. I think they would have stayed, you know, tried and true to Calabao, and they would have had more strength as a tribe. But once she went, you know, the shift happened, and I think there was this concern about weakness. And then when we went to challenges, you know, Dawson and Katie weren't able to perform in a way that, you know, that was, you know, reassuring for Jonathan or Jeff. And so that was my in right there to keep kind of pushing to them. We don't know when we're going to have a merge. We don't know. And if you vote me out, you know, who knows? You need strength going into that. And I was also quite willing to kind of say, you know, yep, Jonathan was kind of working, you know, double alliances, and Jeff was working double alliances. So I was able to kind of go back and forth between the two of them. And luckily, who they ended up wanting to vote off wasn't me, and I could vote with them and kind of start building that trust with them.
Yeah, that was a huge moment in the game for you, because then you really were never in trouble again after that. You really, your name really didn't ever come up, at least not that we saw on the show the whole way through, other than when they could have voted you out at Final Five and they didn't. Did you have any sense before you watched the episode that your name was being thrown about by Malcolm and Lisa and Scoopin?
You know, that's the funny thing. In hindsight, I had no idea, especially Malcolm, I had no idea how early he was gunning for me. You know, how soon he was ready to take me out, even before that, long before, you know, Final Five, that he was considering that. But that was definitely a surprise for me at that point of, wow, I was really in trouble there. I could have really been in trouble. But luckily, you know, I think the men, for whatever reason, the men always stand out as bigger threats. Mm-hmm. And so luckily the crossfires just stayed on him, you know, stronger or on other players. More.
Well, going back to that Final Five from the other night, and I really feel like had Malcolm gone through with voting you out at the Final Five, I think that he would be the winner of the game. Mm-hmm. Was that anything that you did to not get voted out, or was just that they decided not to put your head on the chopping block and you stayed around in the game long enough and then you got Malcolm out?
You know, I think at that point, you know, we were going back and forth between, you know, what kind of a game do you want to play, the strategy. And so Malcolm definitely, you know, was looking at me. But again, getting Abby out, it had just, I mean, it's so hard to translate, you know, and it sounds ridiculous because that's not the way the game's been played for so long. But it was just so miserable being there with her that it was like none of us could fathom three more days. And we kept thinking, you know, this Final Four. And so luckily, you know, and whether or not, you know, depending on how their thinking was I think I was just lucky that we were able to say we made a Final Four and we're going to stick with the Final Four.
Yeah.
And luckily, again, it's a combination of luck, strategy, and social.
Now, what did Abby Maria do that you couldn't sustain? I mean, you're a trained therapist. You deal with all sorts of people with a number of different issues. What is it about Abby Maria that she just got under your skin so much?
Oh my gosh! You know, it wasn't just me. I just think they showed me as more vocal. You know, Abby just out in the game, she was miserable to be around. There was a sense of entitlement. I'm not going to do anything else. She was rude to people. It was really, Abby was just very self-serving in the game. And that was the way she thought she was, you know, going to win the game. And luckily, that's not who Abby is in its entirety outside of the game. It's part of who she is because it's part of who we saw out there. That's all of us. But ultimately, you know, people, I've gotten a lot of, you know, I've taken a little bit of heat for, you know, my gosh, you're a therapist and how could you treat her that way? It's like, but I'm human. And these would be the clients that I would fire. We would fire each other. So,
yeah.
And Abby and I joked about that. Well, not joked. I mean, it was at one of our tribal councils, you know, that didn't get shown, that we were going back and forth and she said she would never get therapy from me. And I said, and I would fire you. So, I mean, there was no love lost out in the game. But we are so good right now, and we've made our peace. And you know, we're taking it in. But it just doesn't translate how bad it was out there.
How about seeing Russell Swan this weekend? I know that I thought the most cold-blooded thing you did in the game, and I don't mean this as any disrespect. This is what I like to see. Russell Swan is like pouring his heart out about, I forget what he was talking about, being bullied or you know something from his childhood.
Yep.
And then in that moment after he opened up to you, this is when you're trying to get him to, you know, throw his vote towards Malcolm, and just some really nice manipulation going on there. How was Russell doing?
Well, Russell and I aren't really on the greatest of terms. We've kind of made kind of a neutral peace, but he's still really struggling. And,
yeah.
You know, I think how he's internalized the game, but, you know, it wasn't manipulative. And that's what people don't understand, that conversation with, you know, and the editing was kind of flip-flopped and nobody, I don't know if people pick up on that, but it was a very genuine conversation that I always had because he was struggling with us losing again. And I was trying to figure out, you know, what, you know, where was he at? And just connecting with him as, you know, a friend out there. And, you know, but then we're also in the game. And I knew, again, we were going to be going to tribal council. And, you know, I've got to figure out how am I going to stand the game, because it as much as it is for me, you know, right or wrong, good or bad, it was about the relationships. I'm also out there. I was out there to do a job and get it done. And I had to strategize also. And I needed to make sure that, you know, he might feel safe and, yeah, vote for Malcolm so that we could vote him off.
Denise, you did something this season that has never been done before. You went to every single tribal council the whole season. Now, is this a badge of honor, or could we argue that you were such a loser that you had to go to every single one? You never tasted victory. You did win individual immunity.
Oh, thanks so much, Rob. I could slice that both ways. You know, if I weren't on the phone talking to you about winning, I think I would be looked at as the biggest loser, and I would own that because, oh my gosh, the woman, like, what's wrong with her? Like, she's cursed. Like, she goes to every stinking tribal council. But now, obviously, it was not my goal to go to every tribal council, certainly not the record I had ever intended on getting.
Yeah.
But it certainly, you know, in hindsight, in terms of the jury, that was quite helpful.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. So, I mean, in the end, that helped me win.
Yeah. It's a good thing. I'm just teasing. But how about in this finals, did you feel good after the final tribal council? And did you think that you were, were you looking in the store at things that were a little in the higher price range over these last couple of months, feeling that you had these votes?
Oh my gosh. And one, that's just so not me. Coming out of the final tribal council, I mean, I felt good and I thought, I really think this can maybe happen, but I'm also very much a realist. And until something happens, I don't bank on it. And, you know, I've had months to, you know, replay, you know, how could the jury votes have gone? And okay, I'm hearing good things, but I don't know that that's going to happen. And so I think every one of those jury members could have called me up personally and said, Denise, congratulations, you just won $1 million, you know, way to go, great game. And until last night, I would not have allowed myself to believe that it was going to happen. So, I mean, last night was just overwhelming because it was I finally, you know, realized, oh my gosh, I did. I just won freaking Survivor.
Yeah. Look at you. Yeah. Well, it was such a great job this season. Do you have any plans for now what you're going to do with the money and the notoriety from the show?
You know, we're going to take a few deep breaths and just take it in. You know, we've got, you know, in terms of the money, we have a 9-year-old daughter, and so we've got, you know, some planning that we want to do to just to make sure that her future is quite secure, and, you know, take care of a few things that we need to, and then just, you know, take some time to figure out how to be a really good steward of, you know, this, what a gift from Survivor. Work-wise, though, I go back into my office, you know, as of January 3rd, and I'm back to normal. I hope, you know, if there are opportunities to, whether or not that's, you know, do an occasional speaking, I don't know what it'll bring, but I'm definitely open to the opportunities. So,
well, Denise, we would love to have you back on at some point. Plus, I know a lot of the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast have a lot of relationship questions that they could use your advice on. So we'd love to get those from you as well. But congratulations.
Great,
congratulations.
Thank
on
you.
Everything. And enjoy your success and have a happy holiday.
Thank you so much, Rob. You too. Love the podcast.
Take care, Denise. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, that was Denise Stapley, your winner of Survivor Philippines, and for the first time ever, the first time that Rob's pick from preseason has ever won the game. So congratulations to me. I finally got one right. Nicole cannot say that I am the picker that sucks anymore when it comes to my preseason picks. I'm on a hot streak. I'm 1-for-1. I'm going to look to go for 2 in a row on Survivor 26, but that's still a ways away and very much looking forward to that. A lot of scuttlebutt on the internet about the returning players and who might be back. A lot of people are asking me if I'm on the new season. And again, I'm sorry, everybody. I cannot comment on that matter at this time, but maybe in a couple of weeks I will officially be able to confirm or deny whether I am going to be on the next season of Survivor. But you'll have to wait for that. I cannot, legally, I'm not allowed to discuss that issue right now. But here we go. Let's go ahead and moving right along. Let's bring in Mr. Mike Scoopin or a Scoopin, as Carter might say. So here he is, bringing Mike Scoopin. Hello. Mike, good morning. You're on with Rob Cesternino. Welcome to Rob Has a Podcast.
The man. It's always good to hear you, buddy.
Yeah, it's always good to hear you as well. Mike, sorry it didn't work out for you in the finals last night, but it looks like, from what I could tell, not only do you love life, you love being back on Survivor.
You know, and I think it's what makes this game so intense and so successful after so many seasons. Because, you know, I read the Twitter feeds last night, and I read the social media feeds, and I heard people, and, you know, everybody has differences of opinion based on what you were able to see. You know, I had people saying, Scoop, you were robbed, and I heard people say, Lisa, you were robbed, and how did Denise win? And then I heard people say, Denise, of course you would have won. And, you know, it's the spirit of this game. You know, and as you know, Rob, there's only a certain amount you can control. You can't control what people do. You can't control what they say. You can't control how they vote. All you can do is lay your cards on the table, play your game, and hope that you embodied the spirit of the game. Outwit, outplay, outlast the best. And I got to tell you, on day one, I needed to find out if my tribe was a tribe of people that encompassed that. And I asked them on day one, I said, how many people out here would have given Russell Hance $1 million? And every single, all five 10 day members universally said that they would have given Russell Hance $1 million. So I thought on day one that this was a group of people that would have not been a bitter jury, that would have voted for the, no matter how hard you stomped on their chest, that they would have voted for outwit, outplay, outlast.
Yeah. Well, are you saying that they did not vote for that?
Well, you know, I guess I'm not saying, I mean, Denise definitely played an under the radar game. I can't think of one strategic decision that she actually made that she orchestrated out there. And I'm not saying that under the radar is not a brilliant strategy. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we've seen lots of people win with that strategy. And the game speaks for itself. You know, that this jury, these people, she read them better, thinking that an under the radar game was going to be one that would get more votes at the end. Or she just played an under the radar game, period, and that's what won it. I'm not really sure at this point if it was strategic or that was just a part of her makeup, because she's very non-confrontational. The fact that she had those confrontations with Abby were amazing to me, because she got to a point on the beach with six people left where she said, Scoop and I would rather give up $1 million than spend another day on this island with her. And then I'm edited as saying, I could easily spend another 3 days with her for $1 million. So from a strategic standpoint, you know, she won the game. You know, she got six votes, and, you know, I can't argue that. But I definitely feel, from a outwit, outplay, outlast perspective, that I played the better game of the final three.
So let me ask you this, and this is what I had been sort of harping on since the final five. Why didn't it make more sense for you and Lisa to vote out Denise at the final five, keep Abby Maria around, and maybe Malcolm wins the final immunity, and if he does, then you guys say, hey, great, Malcolm, we're the final three. Time to vote out Abby Maria. Or if he doesn't, then go to the finals with Abby Maria, because I think you've got a better shot if Abby Maria is there instead of Denise.
Okay, from the surface, that makes that the obvious choice.
Mike, that's the only place I operate from is the surface. There's nothing deeper.
But here's the, obviously, you know, you're saying 42 minutes, and I know that you can dig deeper under the scenes than 99% of the people. But as I considered hundreds of times a day running numbers to keep Abby in the game, she worked the jury. If you watch those shows, the little things that she does walking in and out of the jury that they showed every single time, she would wink, wave, and smile at Pete and Artis. Pete and Artis would wink, walk, smile, and wave back. She brilliantly worked those two people. They never left each other's side for every moment she was out there. They ate together. They slept together. They walked together. They did everything. So it was so obvious to us that she had two of the four votes necessary to win this game. Mm-hmm. And both Penner and Carter said in their post-game interviews that if Abby, if her personality, if she could possibly make it to the end, that she would have a very strong case and her story would be compelling enough that they would strongly consider giving them her vote. And you know that that personality, that that game has won Survivor before. And I couldn't let that happen. Of anybody, I thought that wouldn't get a single vote out there, it was Denise. And yet she got six of them. So at five, here's my thought process to answer your question at the very beginning. Malcolm had two idols at five. I knew I needed to win that challenge. And Malcolm, although I won three individual challenges and Malcolm won three individual challenges, he won immunity at five and at six. Well, at five, he has two idols. He's got to get rid of them both. He flippantly, sort of casually, walking away one day, said, I said, what are you going to do with another idol? He said, well, I might take it home. Maybe I'll just give it to somebody. Maybe I'll just give it to Denise. Just sort of, he didn't say it strategically, because I know Malcolm's strategic game. He said it sort of flippantly, and I ran right over to Lisa. I'm like, Lisa, we dropped two votes on Denise. She has an idol. They vote for Abby. Abby's gone anyway. And we just blew up our final three chances. Somebody, one of us, is going home at final four if we vote for at Denise, because those votes won't count. Who in their right mind would keep two idols going into an alliance like that? And it turns out that that's a decision that cost Malcolm the game.
Interesting. Yeah, so if you were afraid Malcolm was going to play, give Denise the other idol at Final Five.
Because
he said he
was going to. I mean, I ran right over to Lisa. I'm like, we're wasting our vote. So I knew that in order to be considered, we know some of the great players in the game have made it to the Final Four. Malcolm, Ozzy, and you know more better than I do, there's more. If you don't get to the Final Three, you never have a shot at a vote. So I knew that my most secure way to get into the final three was to not drop those votes and take a chance. Why? I've never heard of anybody holding two idols in their pocket at the final five. I think that's an unprecedented move. And like I said, that's the turning point that Denise told me, even again reiterated last night, that that was the moment that she walked up to us and said, I'm considering going with you guys.
Mm-hmm. But
that decision right there is probably what cost Malcolm the game.
Yeah, I agree. So, but Malcolm comes to you. You guys go on the reward challenge on Wednesday night, and he's like, "Hey, let's vote out Denise." But then ultimately, you guys decide not to do that. Was it just because you didn't trust that Malcolm was true to his word, and you thought that maybe he was trying to trick you guys, and then was going to give the idol to Denise?
Well, we had caught Malcolm on lies before. I mean, Malcolm was a very strategic player. Rob, you'll appreciate this, and I'm not sure that you'll agree with me, but I watched Penner stand up at tribal council, get voted off, and say, congratulations on $1 million, Malcolm. I watched Abby stand up at tribal council and say, congratulations on $1 million, Malcolm. Malcolm has this ability. Here's a 25-year-old single bartender, and if this 25-year-old single bartender lies to you, you expect him to lie to you. He's a 25-year-old guy. There's no harm there. But if a 50-year-old father of seven who claims to be a Christian lies to you, well, there's going to be ramifications, because that's the guy you should be able to trust. That's your dad. You know, that's mm-hmm. the guy that you should be able to lean on. And I think from a psychological perspective, if you want to dig a little bit deep, that potentially it's harder to accept a blindside from a 50-year-old father of seven or a 50-year-old mother than it is from a 25-year-old bartender, because somehow Malcolm could be a part of the blindside and walk away with people smiling and shaking his hand. When Lisa said last night that, you know, he could knife you in the back and come and visit you in the hospital, and you would say, oh, Malcolm, can I pay for your gas? Thank you for visiting me. There was a lot of that. So his social game was as brilliant as the girl who won from last season, who could vote people out, Kim, who could vote people out, and people would smile at her as she was walking out of the jury box. So when you looked at every single aspect of the game, as you counted jury votes, I counted Malcolm as having way more jury votes than Denise would have gotten. And I knew that my path to the winner's circle did not include Malcolm in it, as I sat in the final four and counted both.
Yeah. Well, I don't disagree. I don't think anybody is saying that this was the wrong move to get rid of Malcolm along the way. I mean, the only thing I think you could say, which I brought up, was to get rid of both of them somewhere along the way. But I feel like
that's the final six.
Yeah,
that's what we were going to do at final six. Malcolm is gone, then Denise is going to be gone, and me, Lisa, and Carter were going to be in the final three. But Carter, is that the one? Yeah, that's the one. No, Carter won the immunity challenge at seven. Malcolm won at five and six. So our path was blocked by excellent challenge play by Malcolm. But of all the people in the final seven that I thought would get the least number of votes, I thought it would be Denise. And I know from a viewer's perspective, you saw something different, but if you look at the strategic value of the game, which I was playing in my mind, not the under-the-radar, who burned the less bridges, the least amount of bridges game, I didn't think Denise would get more votes than Lisa or I.
Yeah. It's hard to say. I mean, early on in the game that they had that tribal council where Malcolm said, oh, Denise, are you kidding me? She'd win against anybody. And I know Abby Maria was saying either Malcolm or Denise is going to win the game. But I don't want to spend any more time on this. I want to ask you about your different philosophy on playing the game, because I feel like we saw you as a different player this time around than the first time around. We're in Survivor Australia in the Kucha tribe. You were like the alpha male provider guy and I feel like either consciously or unconsciously, I felt like you played a different strategy. Was that intentional?
Well, part of it, yes, because I watched and I thought Russell Swan played the exact same game. I thought Penner played the exact same game. And I thought that wasn't smart because everybody knows that part of you and it's easy to pick off that. And so, you know, when I got out there and we did not lose the first challenge and we get back to camp on day two, sitting there in the pouring rain, and Pete said, I hope they get rid of Russell Swan. In my mind, I thought, I'm the Russell Swan of this team. You know, I knew I had a bullseye going on my back, but I didn't realize it was a day two bullseye to get rid of me. That my value in survival and experiences and challenges would be more valuable to them. Somebody said on Twitter the other day that if Boston Rob had played the game he played on this season with these players, then he wouldn't have been around long enough to say, oops. And, you know, it's an interesting thought about the philosophies of the players.
Hey, Scooping, I said, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, let's build a fire. Let's build a shelter over the fire because we finally got a fire going after 6 days. And Pete said, no, we're good. And I looked at him like, I'll build it. And he said, no, we're good. And Artis shook his head yes, like, don't build a shelter over the fire. So production immediately calls me over and they go, hey, Mr. Survivor guy, Mr. Fire builder and shelter builder, why don't you build yourself a shelter over the fire? It makes all the sense in the world. And I said, because I came here to win this game. I didn't come here to build fire or build shelter. I came here to win this game. And I had to have a completely different strategy when I realized how badly they hate a returning player. The first words Jeff has said to me when I met him at the merge was, Scoopin', we hate returning players, but we hate Penner more than we hate you. So you're going to last 3 days longer than Penner. Enjoy your next 3 days. We'll make it as comfortable as possible for you.
Mike, we got to get you back
Same game.
Sometime next season, because you're not conducive to these 15-minute interviews. Like, so I got a lightning round, okay? I got real quick before they pull you away.
You got
why does Artis not care for the Mike Scooping?
I have absolutely no idea. He's one guy that still plays the game to this day, and we haven't said five words to each other since the merge, even to this day, and to this day, have absolutely zero idea what I did or what my character on the show did to offend him the way that I did. Absolutely no idea.
How about RC? I was very surprised you didn't get RC's vote last night.
Ponderosa. I was told at one point in this game, as I was looking at voting off somebody, and they said to me, if you vote me off, I will go back to Ponderosa. I will poison, beg, borrow, cheat, lie. I will lie about what you said about their kids, about their spouses, and you will never get a vote. They said, you might win this battle and last longer than me, but you will never get a vote coming down to the end. There's more games played at Ponderosa, and it's one part of the game that I have not yet figured out. And RC and I had a bow to the end that I would get her vote. If I was in the jury, she would get my vote if she was on the end. And all of a sudden, you know, the bitterness that I saw just jury vote by jury vote or tribal council by tribal council in her, she was definitely influenced. I'm not saying that Ponderosa, I'm not going to go there about the whole Ponderosa part of the game because it is a part of the game, but her game was definitely influenced by Ponderosa.
All right, well, Mike, I'm sure we could do easily another 3 hours on all this, but I know you got to run. So enjoy the holidays, Mike. I'm sure we'll check back in with you in the new year. Great seeing you last night, buddy, and job well done. You made it 39 days. Congratulations.
Yeah, I came there and did. You know, I made it to every single part of the game. I mean, it's what every survivor hopes to do when they step foot on the beach on day one is to experience every last part of the game, and I did. And the jury vote didn't go my way. I gave it everything I had. I left nothing on the table. I walked out with my head high because I did give it everything that I had. No regrets.
Yeah. Well, great job, Mike. We'll talk to you again soon, okay, buddy?
Hey, I look forward to it, Rob.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye.
And so you really get the sense from talking to Scoopin that he felt like he had it in the bag, felt very disappointed with this jury. I feel like the closest exit interview I've ever done that was similar to this one was if you go back a year ago to when I talked to Coach after the South Pacific finale, he was disappointed that Ozzy didn't vote for him. He felt like as a returning player, he should return it. I wish I would have had more time. I could have asked him if he felt like Penner should have voted for him as a returning player. I got your back. But I guarantee you, we will have Mike Scoopin on in the next season of Survivor. We will talk with Mike Scoopin about all of that, get his thoughts on Survivor 26. And Mike Scoopin is not made for these 15-minute interviews. Abby Maria, she was perfect. It was like rapid fire. We asked her like 30 questions. We didn't get to get that many things in 15 minutes with Mike Scoopin. But perhaps we'll have better luck with another runner-up from Survivor Philippines. Let's bring in Lisa Welchel. Hello again, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing good. Lisa, you're not hungover or anything, right?
No, I'm not hungover. I did go to the after party, but... Yeah. Not hungover.
Good. And it was a good time? Everybody was there?
You know what? I guess because we had to stay so long for the after interviews, and then I came back to the room and got my family. By the time we got there, I guess most everybody was leaving, so that was kind of disappointing.
Oh.
I had wanted to meet some of the former Survivor players, and they said that they were going to be there. And I got to meet Amy, and that was cool. But there weren't the other ones there. So I was a little bit disappointed. Hopefully there'll be another opportunity to meet some of what, you know, the celebrities in my book.
Yeah, one day. Anyway, so Lisa, very good to catch up with you again. We talked to you very briefly on our live recap during the show last night. If you want to check out Lisa's appearance during that, you can do it on robisawebsite.com. So let's get into it. So were you surprised? Did you feel like you had the votes last night?
No, I wasn't surprised at all. I mean, I had a pretty good read on the game and reality. And I could I have seen a scenario that I had hoped might work? You know, sure. I had hoped that I knew Abby hated Denise and Scoopin both, so I hoped that I would get her vote. I hoped that she, being close to Pete and Artis, would plead my case at Ponderosa, that, you know, I was loyal to Tan Dang in my heart, and then once the alliance disintegrated, that I needed to, you know, find a way to stay in the game, but that it was my intention to stay loyal, and that could not be said about the other two. So I, you know, was there a slight chance? Yeah, and so you kind of hang on to that in hope. At the same time, you know, I wasn't putting a down payment on any house or anything.
Good. So I was just talking with Scoopin, and we were talking about how he felt like out of anybody, Denise was the person who was the least likely to get any votes out of the final seven. Did you feel the same way? Was that sort of a mutual decision for you both?
No, I don't think so. I think there were, I mean, between Denise and Malcolm, which was really the two that mattered at that point, I think even those people said last night on the reunion show that, you know, they would have voted for Denise over Malcolm. I think it's a moot point. Either one, if we're sitting next to either one of them, it would be an overwhelming uphill battle to try to beat either one of them.
Yeah. You know, you had said for a while on the show that you felt like you wanted to go to the end with the worst player, which I commend you for, because I think that is the right way to play the game. So was it just that Mike wouldn't listen to you? Is that what happened? Is that why? Or he ended up convincing you to go the other way?
No, it's just that, as it turned out, between Malcolm and Denise, I did go to the end with the one that I thought I had a better chance of beating. And the reason I didn't, we didn't vote out Denise and keep Abby was, again, in my feeling, if anybody's sitting next to Malcolm, no matter who else is in the mix, then Malcolm wins. And not only that, but if you vote off Denise, Malcolm's still in the game. He is very charismatic. Abby adored him. Then the next thing you know, Malcolm and Abby are going to split me and Mike up. And so that there was just there wasn't enough reason to take a chance on voting Denise out and either letting that happen or going to the Final Four immunity challenge and Malcolm winning and then having the power to decide who's sitting next to him. We needed Denise there and get him out of the mix. And then at least I felt like I had some chance, because Abby being on the jury could have been worth more to me than Abby in that Final Four immunity challenge, when she wouldn't have helped our case at all.
Right. Now, if Abby Maria was in the final three with you and Scoopin, who wins the game?
I don't know. I think it would have been all over the place, and it would have been close, and it would have been split between the three of us. And so any kind of swing vote that could have been voted either from emotions instead of strategy or strategy instead of relationship could have swung it in any direction.
Yeah. I think that Denise also was almost like Sandra with Russell and Parvati on Heroes versus Villains, where you had you and Scoopin were like a pair, and then Denise was like the alternative to this pair. So it was like, you know, you guys were similar, and she could also be seen as a vote against the two of you guys.
Absolutely. And because, you know, all of the Tan Dang tribe members were on the jury, and none of the Mat Singh tribe members except Malcolm were on the jury. So therefore, she hadn't betrayed any early alliances, and we had. And so it's somebody that you are close to, when they write your name down, it hurts a lot more than someone you don't really have a relationship with. And so what was a strength for me, which was getting me that far because I did have relationships with everybody, and at any point during the game, I could have chosen wherever I wanted to go, because, first of all, I think everybody thought I was a goat. And the other thing is, I knew what was going on because I was with everybody and actually in relationship with everybody. At the same time, it hurt more, I think, and they felt more betrayed because they trusted me. So when I did write down their name, that hurt turned to anger.
And I, just to be clear, I hope that nobody thinks I'm trying to take anything away from Denise and that she only got votes because people didn't want to vote for Lisa and Mike. I'm just saying that could be another reason why she did so well and got 6 of the 8 votes in the tribal council. I mean, and it helps.
You know what? I think there, you know, there's never just one reason why something happens. And I do think that is one of the many reasons that, you know, that added to her almost landslide.
Yeah. Very good. So how about you and Scoopin? It was some question this season from the Survivor fans of who is calling the shots? Who's in the driver's seat if Lisa and Mike Scoopin are in the car? Who's in the driver's seat? Who's in the passenger seat? Or is it one of these driver's ed cars where you both sort of have a brake pedal at least?
That's funny. What was interesting is that our alliance was from day one, but there were just as many times as we didn't vote together as we did. And so I think it was definitely mutual. If we agreed on which way to go, then we were in the same car. If we didn't agree on which way to go, we just got in different cars and drove where we wanted to drive.
Yeah. Would you guys ever have split when we got towards the as we got towards the end of the game, would you have ever voted against Mike under any circumstances?
You know what? I would say no because, you know, yes, because I had made that, commitment to him. But, you know, I've been shown that I would certainly break my commitment. But also I thought that the returning player target, there were enough people on the jury that it was also good strategy for me to go to the end with Mike. He played an awesome game, but there were some people that would, no matter how good a game he played, they would not reward him because they didn't want a returning player to win. And I knew that, so he was also a good person to go to the end with strategically.
Last night we talked a little bit about Penner's speech and when he said, "Hey everybody, just so you know, she's on the facts of life," and he did this whole thing. Now, why did Penner have animosity towards you? It seemed like he was coming after you.
I think he had animosity toward me because he wanted this so badly, and so he saw me as he put all of the reasons why he was not going to win on me because. He felt like I could have been, well, and I could have, but of course, so could have any of the other people that voted against him. But he had more of a relationship with me and more sway over me. So I was his best bet for keeping him in the game. So when I didn't, I think he was so deeply devastated because he wanted it so badly and it hurt to see his dream just float away in front of his eyes. And, you know, we all, when we are hurt, it feels better to go to anger. And so I think he just turned it into anger and bitterness.
But in fairness, it really was your decision. Am I wrong that, you know, you guys came to him and said, "Hey, let's go to the final three." He was indecisive, and then you moved on and you said on the show, "I think that's going to be a mistake for him. I think we offered him something good," and you guys moved on. I mean, it was because you moved to go with a different group that he ended up out of the game.
Yeah, but I would not qualify that as my decision. I would qualify that as his decision
not to align with me. Yeah, but no hard feelings anymore, right?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, we had dinner last week, and I said, you know, in the heat of the moment, you caught me off guard when you outed me at Tribal Council, but in the big picture and in the storytelling, it was a great end to the chapter, and it needed to be resolved. And being the wonderful storyteller and performer that Penner is, he was the perfect person to do it.
Now, and did that have any sort of impact on the jury? Not in how they voted, but afterwards, were they like, "Oh wow, you did this"? Like, I'm sure it must have come up at Ponderosa. I'm sure it wasn't a surprise for any of them at the final tribal council.
No, he didn't. He saved it.
Oh.
Come on, you know Penner did better than that. He wants all
reaction.
Of the drama, so he totally saved it for the final tribal council. And what was great about it was by that time, because we had spent 39 days together, it was like, "Really? Well, that's cool. But it was not even, it was kind of a non-issue outside the game, because they had gotten to know me as me.
Yeah. No, it's totally true. Even with, you know, my little bit of, you know, people there, you meet people and sometimes they know you were on Survivor, and more often than not, they don't. And it's a totally different thing if they find out after knowing you for a couple months, like, oh, you were on Survivor, as opposed to, you know, the first thing they learn about you. So I definitely can understand how that goes. How about Jeff Kent? That I felt like Jeff Kent was a little hard on you last night, too, because I thought you made a good point about finding Malcolm's idol and trying to make a move. But he's a very results oriented guy, Jeff Kent, and he didn't want to hear about what you tried to do.
Exactly. And not only that, but I think there could be just a little bit of male chauvinism going on there. You know, you saw it on the earlier tribe when his reaction to just barely being able to tolerate the girls. And so I think it stung that he felt like I had any part in him being voted out when I pled for Plan B and he was Plan B. So I think it was just a reaction to the sting.
How surprised were you to get RC's vote? Because I thought for sure she was going to vote for Scoopin.
I was absolutely shocked to get RC's vote. Because I would expect that the audience would be too, because the time that RC and I really bonded was in the middle of the night one night. She was having trouble and was really kind of in a very vulnerable spot. And I woke up in the night and heard her crying and found her in the dark. And we had just a totally outside the game, no cameras around. These are two women on a beach caring about each other. And it was a very vulnerable bonding moment. And that was not captured because, you know, it was the middle of the night. But it was a solid connection that was outside the game, and it didn't affect the game because at that point I was in a solid alliance, and as close as we were, she understood when I said to her, hey, I can't go with an alliance of three when I have the possibility in an alliance of four. And, you know, she respected me just being upfront with her, but it didn't change the fact that, you know, we could still be friends. And even though I was in that alliance of four that liked to ostracize anybody that wasn't in their alliance, I didn't have to play that by their game either. And so we could still be friends.
So, Lisa, you made it 39 days. You were the fan favorite of the season. Congratulations on that as well. It seems like you had a very positive experience. Would you, if asked, return to Survivor as an all-star? Would you come back to the show?
I really don't know the answer to that question. I'm not going to say no, but I'm not ready to say 100% yes either. I think it's like childbirth, and not only do you need to wait until after all the scars have healed, but probably need to wait till you're past the terrible twos as well.
That's good advice. And it is much like childbirth. It's painful, but you forget about it. And then on day one, you say, what did I sign myself up for?
Yes, exactly.
All right, Lisa. Well, thanks so much. I hope that only greater things to come now. Hopefully, we're seeing you everywhere now because of this.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm actually going to get to do some co-hosting with Jeff on his show in the next few weeks. And so that's going to be very, very fun. And so my Survivor adventure is going to get to continue for a little while.
Oh, that's great, Lisa. Well, all the best to you. Very nice to see you again last night, and happy holidays, okay?
Thank you, and you too. It's just been a privilege to, you know, what a big fan I am of yours, having met you at the TV Land Awards. So this is a privilege to be on your show. Please, can I have a bell somewhere in anything I said?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Lisa Welchel, who I thought had a pretty good run at Survivor. I mean, I did not necessarily think that in the beginning she would have it in her to go 39 days in the game. So good on her. I know a lot of people did not love Lisa on the show. And I'm starting with you, Stephen Fishback, who had a very funny encounter with her on the live show that we did last night. But I was impressed with Lisa to go out there and go from somebody who was, you know, used to being an actress and stuff and go out and be 39 days on Survivor. She never talked about quitting after, you know, the first, like, couple days. She made it all the way. So good for Lisa. And I hope that Survivor brings her more success. So I think it's a really nice story. Anyway, so let's talk to the man of the hour, who seemingly is everybody's favorite Survivor, the guy who everybody feels like should have won the game. Here he is. You've been waiting for this. Here is Malcolm.
Hey, man.
Malk, what's going on?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
You're doing okay. You're hanging in there after. I heard some stories that you're out late at night drinking it all in.
No, Rob, that's every night.
Oh, okay.
So this is nothing new.
Yeah.
I should talk this 40 is the only difference.
Yeah, it's amateur hour for all the other Survivors. This is just a regular day at the office.
Well,
all right,
I keep saying there, but I'm shameless about, you know, I'm a bartender, I drink. And all the other episodes, I get to drink and watch stuff, and it goes well for me. And this last one, we're in the green room at CBS, I can't drink, and I get voted off. This is nonsense. I was not pleased.
Yeah. All right. Well, Malcolm, we saw you last night on our live show at the finale. Thank you very much for coming on with us, and we really appreciate it. And I hope you don't mind. I just want to, travel some of the areas that we talked about a little bit last night, maybe go into a little more detail. So
yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So the thing that I wanted to talk to you about was this situation at the Final Five, because it looks like, you know, you are holding all the cards here. And you end up deciding not to vote out Denise. Now, I just talked to Scoopin earlier, and he had said that the reason why they didn't want to do it was he was afraid that you were going to give Denise one of your idols. But why not go ahead and take out Denise at the Final Five?
I mean, it was really – I make it – yeah, from my – I'm not seeing all the stuff that you get to see on TV. I don't know that Lisa's dead set on getting rid of me already. I had no idea, but I got them to shake hands for a Final Four deal with me and Denise. And in my mind, from my perspective, they stuck with it. So I'm like, okay, if I can get them to do a Final Three deal, if I get them to shake on it and, you know, swear on, you know, everything they hold most sacred in the world, they'll stick with it. So when they don't get rid of Denise, it's partially because, well, I didn't want to get rid of Denise because that's me losing a jury vote, because I didn't never promised Denise Final Three, but I promised her Final Four. And at that point, I really thought the game was over. I thought I'd won when I got Lisa and Scoopin to make that deal, in all honesty. And Scoopin and Lisa were considering, like, get just as a defense, you know, mechanism, just in case, to, you know, against all logic in my head, in case they were going to do something. I just threatened I was going to give her something. So when, like, I think Scoopin came up to me before the Final Five vote and said, well, what are you going to do with your idol? I said, I'm going to give it to Denise. You know, why not? She's been my ally for forever. There's no reason to, like, take it home with me. So I just said that, like, kind of off the cuff, not really ever believing that I was going to do it or that I needed to do it. But Lisa and Scoopin thought I was going to give it up.
Mm-hmm. All right, so just reading between the lines here, you feel like you're going to win against anybody. You're really just trying to manipulate Scoopin and Lisa at that point. You're not serious about voting out Denise. You just want them to not vote you out if you don't win immunity. And you kind of feel like they're going to vote you out no matter what at the end of the day at the Final Four. So you need to have Denise around because she's not going to do that.
No.
Oh.
I lose that last immunity challenge at the four thing.
Yeah.
I think I'm good. As soon as me and Lisa, I said this before. We shook hands on that, on the boat, me, Lisa, and Scoopin. And I really thought I'd won the game at that moment. And it was an arrogance thing. And I absolutely got cocky towards the end and probably not playing as defensive and, like, making my arguments as strong as I should have. But, I thought I had it locked. So when we got to the Final Four and I lose that immunity challenge, I still thought I had it. I still thought we were good. And I mean, that's Lisa's a professional actress. She knows what the hell she's doing. And my read on Lisa is what cost me the game.
So when you guys have this conversation and Denise comes to you and she's like, hey, Malk, are we good? I don't know why I keep calling you Malk. Is that
you call me whatever you want, Rob.
All right, we'll go with that. Malk. Hey, so what are we doing here? Are we good? And you, so you sort of do, you know, as you said, borrow a page from the Penner book and say, yeah, you know what? I just need a little more time to think about this. And then she ends up going behind your back and talking to Lisa and Scuba. Why not tell Denise at that point, hey, we're golden, Denise. We're good.
It really was. I was thinking jury management. Again, I was so confident that I had my final three in place that I didn't think I needed to lie to her. Denise absolutely earned getting to the end with the work she pulled on Scoopin. That conversation they showed in the finale, I watched it happen. It was down like at the other, like probably 100 yards away from where like our very shabby shelter was constructed, like on the end of the beach. And I was watching them talk. And like, so I knew this was happening. I didn't think she could work over Scoopin that well. But I absolutely thought that, like, I was doing jury management. There's no reason to lie to her. Mm-hmm. Me and Denise bonded we bonded for a lot of reasons. Like, if I was a 40-year-old woman, I'd be Denise. Like, from a personality perspective, maybe a little taller. But we had the same approach to the game is why we clicked so instantly out there, really. It was moments into, like, the game. We were like, okay, it's going to be us. But we had the same approach to the game. You play it strategically, cutthroat. We're out here to make money. We're out here to make friends. And we did become friends, and we still are friends. But she wouldn't hold it against me when I backstabbed her. I knew that. But if I lied to her, if I told her that, yeah, we're good for the end, it felt like I wasn't sure that she would stick with me for the final vote. It was really just jury management at that point because I'd already, cocky, arrogant head, had thought, you're the last member of the jury, and I need to keep you happy.
Something that came up in the secret scenes that wasn't so much a factor in the TV show was how you were able to create this final four deal with Lisa and with Mike going along the way here. And the idea of you had them all do some sort of a special swear. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. It was some weird. If there was a Ouija board out there, we would have used it. It was weird. I didn't mean for it to be like that. I just wanted us all to shake hands and, like, promise. And then families got involved. I said something about, like, because I told my family going out there, I'm going to probably at some point make a promise on you guys. And, you know, I'm not planning on sticking to it. But just so you know, I'm probably going to – it sounds good if I need to use it. And because my family doesn't care. They don't care as long as I win.
Yeah.
But it got weird. That Final Four deal was absolutely, like – some weird, like, middle school seance thing.
Well, to explain it a little bit more for people who didn't see those scenes where we're talking about this.
Yeah,
where you were talking about this.
When we made, there's 8 people left when we make this deal because I was trying to get, play ahead of the game, make my deal before, like, other people would be playing it. And I go to Scoopin', roping Scoopin', and he brings in Lisa, and I bring in Denise. I was using Denise even before, I had confirmed with her that she wanted to do that. I was like, yeah, Denise will be the fourth one. She'll do it. But I said, guys, I want to go up in the woods and shake on it. Like, let's just make this official. Let's, swear on it. And that was that's because Scoopin', Lisa's obviously an extremely, religious woman. Very, she's a Christian speaker. And Scoopin' is also very religious. You've seen they had like a little prayer moment or they're, bonding over Jesus thing or whatever. But the thought at the time was if I can get these people to, make a very heartfelt, promise, they're going to stick with it. And so we all have to like maneuver around the other 4 people and like find a time to go sneak up in the woods and do this thing. And I really just meant to shake hands and all that. But we end up doing like this cross-handed 4-way. It's like we're playing that game with the baseball bat where you work your way up and the guy on top like gets the bat first. It kind of got weird, but the thought was if I can get Lisa and Scoopin' to swear on something important to them, they won't break it because that's the people they are outside of the game. And it worked out for the final 4. It just didn't work out so well for the final 3.
Okay. Well, now for next time. Malcolm, I know you were a big fan of the show. What was that like for somebody who has watched the show for as long as you have to go ahead and play it? I saw the secret scene where you talked about how you tied the sticks together to practice for that challenge, which I think is pretty amazing. So what was it like for you finally being on the show?
I didn't play it cool at all. I was like a giggling little schoolgirl. Every time, like, we'd hit something that was, like, kind of, like, merge feast. Oh, my gosh, I'm getting to do this. Oh, we're painting a flag. Oh, my. We're on the beach the first day. The one thing I wasn't, when the returnees showed up, I was pissed. But besides that, everything else was, like, super cool. And, you know, the funniest thing for me was the, like, it had to be, like, it was, like, the third or fourth immunity challenge. But it was the first time that I was going to be the first leg of the immunity challenge. So I'm the one on the front line, like, ready to go. And Probst goes, "Survivor's ready." And I'm like, "Oh, he's talking to me." And I absolutely froze. I lost like 3 steps in one of the immunity challenges because I just froze. Like, oh my God, Jeff just said Survivor's ready and he's talking to me. Oh wait, I'm supposed to be doing something. It was surreal while we were out there. It was absolutely, I mean, except for, you know, coming up 24 hours and about 950 grand short. It was absolutely like one of the coolest things, like very surreal for a fan. And like, it's, like, how many people get a chance to do that? And it was awesome.
The whole thing that took place with Lisa finding your hidden immunity idol and going through that, that was really one of the most interesting things that happened on the show, and how you had to scramble to do that. What were you thinking during that moment?
I mean, if Pete doesn't look into my soul or whatever the hell he said, I really could have been toast right there. That I could have been, you know, ninth or whatever that was. I really wouldn't have seen it coming. Again, like, it's my read on Lisa wasn't good the entire game. I mean, I don't think anybody's read on Lisa was good. I don't know how you read a woman who's like, one day she's like in a puddle of tears, like weeping over how like distressed she is, and the next day she's Machiavelli. Like, it was incredible, like watching her happen for TV. Very tough to play with. But it was one, like, I know it's happening and I'm freaking out. Like, that entire discussion, like, we're voting for Jeff, we're voting for Pete, we're voting for whoever else we were talking about. That really did all happen, like, in a 15-minute time frame. And we go to tribal and we didn't know what was going to happen. Like, real, like, true, and I guess that never happens, but we were going to tribal and we're all just looking at each other like with the most confused panic looks ever. And it really just popped into my head on the way to tribal council. All right, I'm whipping this thing out. Whatever. Like, see, this is kind of crude. I was trying to turn it into a cock measuring contest. Like, call my bluff. See if you can try it. That's all it was. And, you know, it ended up working out, and it became like, I think somebody described it as a shield. Like, it's, nobody wanted to go for me because they all thought I was so nervous about going home the whole time that I would play at the next tribal.
Yeah.
So that thing was insane. Like, we got back from the tribal council. I'm talking about when Kent got voted out. And nobody knew what happened. Penner voted for Abby for no reason, and nobody knows what the hell is going on. I'm making up excuses. Lisa's talking about contraception. Nobody knows what's going on.
Contraception?
She said Plan B.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, we were making a lot of contraception jokes that didn't actually make the show.
Yeah, Denise is rubbing off on everybody. let me go back to this.
that thing was nuts, and then that really... But we get back, what I was going to say is we get back from that night, and Lisa's a hot mess because she's finally tried to do something strategic, and it just went horribly, horribly, horribly wrong. And there's this, and I read like every, you know, military strategy book known to man before I went out there, really. And there's this quote from Lincoln that like popped into my head. It's like, and somebody had asked him during the Civil War, right after the Civil War, why didn't you just like wipe out all the Confederates? And he goes, I destroy my enemies when I make them my friends. So the thought going through my head is, if I bring in Lisa, then she's not an enemy anymore. So like, nobody else is giving her any credit. All of Tandang hates her for talking. Like, you saw the way she was treated out there. I'm just thinking, if I bring in Lisa right now, she's a loyal ally to the end. And she was until last night. But the thought was, bring Lisa in because she has no more friends anymore.
That was good. This is a good plan. Let me just go back to this final five one last time. Was there any talk ever for you and Denise to say, hey, let's bring Abby Maria in, then we'll have a three to two majority here, then we can get rid of Lisa, get rid of Scoop, and then you get to the final three. You don't have to worry about winning the immunities, but I know Denise does not care for the Abby Maria.
I like how you say the Abby Maria, by the way, because
yes,
you really need to, like, she's a proper noun. Like, you have to, like, keep her at a distance. No, Denise could not. It crossed my mind, but like I keep saying, I absolutely thought I was solid with Lisa and Scoopin to cut out Denise at four. So that obviously we played through every scenario at that point, and I think, like, I brought it up, and Denise just started shaking her head. Like, she's usually the most level-headed, like, politically. She's not politically correct at all. She actually has a filthy mind. She's a sex therapist.
Yeah.
But she's usually, like, gives, like, the very honest, like, level-headed answers. And when Abby came up in conversation, she could not hold it in. Like, she hated Abby. And they're fine now. But she absolutely loathed Abby out there. Like, it. I don't know if that's – like, she was so unlikable. Like, it wasn't a great strategy from anybody's point of view to get rid of Abby, but she was that unlikable while we were out there.
All right. Well, Malcolm, I know you got to go. So I just want to say I hope you, you know, take it all in. You only get to be the, you know, 25-year-old guy who everybody wanted to win Survivor and single, you know, one time usually. So enjoy it. And, yeah, have a great holiday, buddy.
Thanks, man. It was nice meeting you last night.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Malcolm Freeberg from Survivor Philippines. Had a very nice chat with him there and talked to him last night. Thought Malcolm was a very nice guy, not standoffish. I feel like I know why people liked him in the game. Seemed like a good guy. Anyway, so Malcolm was also a guest of ours last night on our live streaming show and had very interesting interactions, I thought, with Parvati, who was with us as well. And you could check that out on the website from last night. So I mentioned at the top of the show I had something else I wanted to play for you guys. I feel like one of the most memorable parts of the episode last night was the final tribal council jury speech that Penner gave to everybody, where he started talking about a number of different things. He talked about the facts of life. He talked about how he was playing the game a certain way the whole time. He said about Denise that, "I feel like she was the oxen leading you all to the slaughter." And so he said all of that things. But I wanted to key in on one particular thing. And rather than do an impression of Penner, I will let Penner tell you himself. Here's a clip of Jonathan Penner from last night's final tribal council.
Scoopin', you're sitting here telling us how your name kept coming up and how you were threatened all the time. I don't think your name, and you guys will correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think your name has been written down one time in this entire game. I have the proud distinction of having my name written down, I believe, 15 times. Which may be a record. No, I think Philip Shepard has more times, but I may have close to a record. 15 times my name was written down.
All right, so I'm sitting there last night, and I'm watching this thing in the press area, and I'm saying to myself, boy, this sounds very familiar. Why do I know this information? And I thought about it for a second, and then I thought back to my conversation with Penner from a year ago, from December 1st, 2011. Let me play this clip, and we'll see if there's any similarities between the last clip and this one. All right, so let me ask some questions. Let me start with, this is a question from Jeff Pittman, and he asks, were
Jeff
you...
Jeff Pittman?
Yes.
Wait, from... No, I don't know.
Oh.
Making a joke. Go ahead. Sorry,
so Jeff. He says, were you aware of holding the record for most times being voted against in a single season? And you are aware of this because you mentioned it in the last podcast.
Oh, proud of it. I have no idea if that record has stood.
Well, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending how you look at it, it has been broken last season when Philip was voted for 17 times.
Awesome. Good for Philip. There's another guy that could go back out there. How many did I have against me?
He said 15.
Damn, Philip really beat me bad.
All right, so I mean, I feel like this is a bit of a smoking gun here, that I think that Penner definitely got his facts, and good. I'm happy that Jonathan Penner is mentioning things learned in a Rob is a podcast interview in a final tribal council, but To my knowledge, I believe this is the first time that something that happened on the podcast then made it onto the show. Now, maybe I'm just a tinfoil hat. Maybe you don't see the comparison here, but I definitely feel like something came up in my interview. It got the seed that was planted in Penner's brain, and then it came out at the final tribal council. So it just goes to show you guys, when we do these interviews with people and we say, go to our Facebook fan page, give us questions. We will ask the questions to the people that are on the show. Then those people will go on to the show, and then your questions are having an impact on the actual game that you are watching. I think that's pretty amazing and a great way to end this season of Survivor Philippines on Rob Has a Podcast. So it's the end of the season. I just want to thank everybody so much. I had so much fun this season, and thanks so much to Stephen Fishback, who was such a big part of this season as well. And of course, all of you guys, we had so many great exit interviews and weekly podcasts, and I've said it so many times recently, but I'll say it again. I'm just having the best time right now covering the show and doing the podcast and talking with you guys a couple times a week, and it's really, really a thrill for me, and thank you guys so much for all of the support. So let's, looking ahead a little bit, we're going to do one last show during this week. I'm going to do the Rob Has a Podcast for Happy Holidays podcast. Now, I had said that was going to be a live streaming show on Tuesday. I actually had to change my schedule a little bit because it was hard to get everybody booked at one time. So that is going to be an audio podcast. I'll probably have that for you guys by Wednesday morning. So be on the lookout for our Happy Holidays podcast. Lots of surprises in that one. I'm very much looking forward to that. So we'll let the exit interviews digest for a little bit here until Wednesday morning, and then I'll post the Happy Holidays show for you guys. And then I'm going to take a little bit of a break through the Christmas holiday. Nicole and I are going back to New York. Then we're going to come back, and I will have a year in review podcast for you guys in the end of the week for the final week of the year. We'll take a look back at some of the best moments of the year on Rob Has a Podcast, and that should be a really fun show as well. And then just peering over the fence into 2013, of course, we are going to have the return of the Miss Survivor competition. Spent a lot of time with Parvati this week. I got to see firsthand what Miss Survivor should be all about. So we'll be very much focused on that. For the women who played Survivor in 2012, it's never too early to start your campaigning. We will start polling people after we get back in 2013. Lots of fun stuff going to get us through the Survivor offseason. Of course, we will start to think about Survivor 26, the returning players in Fans versus Favorites 2, who could be coming back. We'll discuss all of that. We'll do a preview show as we get ready for that. I think they've announced February 13th, I believe, is that? So towards the end of January, we'll start to talk about who is going to be on the show. They'll announce the cast in January. We'll do some Friggin' Fives along the way. I know people have been asking for those. And we'll see. I'm sure we'll have a movie cast somewhere along the way, and plenty of fun stuff for January in the Survivor offseason. But it will not be an offseason by any stretch of the imagination for Rob Has a Podcast. So that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for such a great season. If you had any comments about this, tweet them out, hashtag RHAP. I'll pick one person and send them my buff and my press bracelet from last night's show. And if you have any late holiday shopping to do, don't forget about our links for Amazon, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. And if you liked what you've heard this season and you want to give us some good feedback on iTunes, it's always very much appreciated. It helps us out in the iTunes rankings. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes and leave us a good comment or give us 5 stars if you think we deserved it. So thanks so much, everybody. If you don't check out our holiday show, have a very happy holidays, everybody, and a great Christmas. And then we'll be back in 2013. I cannot wait to start podcasting about Survivor 26. Everybody's saying it should be amazing. And I'm hoping that you all will be along on the journey with us. So for the end of one last time in Survivor 25, have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye.